Here's Wilson, and on the right side, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. I am your host, the Blue Liner on Point, and with me as always, live and hopefully in color from Centerville, Virginia, my co-host, Anna Knox.
Not quite in color. Almost. Still feeling a little under the weather, but still, you know, bright and sunny.
Yeah, do appreciate your making it out. Sorry, you couldn't join us last night for Sports on the Hill.
I know, but, me too. Like, go figure.
But you are feeling a little bit better at least?
I am. I just, you know, sometimes you just get worn out. And I think after the wedding this weekend and all this other stuff, not my wedding, my cousin's, but it was quite the event. You know, beach bum Pisces girl had to go to a black tie event. So that was a big deal, and had a fantastic time in Baltimore, and, you know, just did all those things that you're like, no, I don't feel like dancing. And there I was in the center with my family being a complete ass, but had an awesome time, and my cousins looked gorgeous, and it was great. But then I just got to work yesterday and was feeling ill and knew I wouldn't be very fun loving towards my students if I was feeling tired. So I took a mental health day.
Well, good. Good for you. Sometimes you've got to do that. And trust me, I've been there many, many, many times and many more. No thanks to our mutual love for this damn hockey team that we follow. Much more on that later. I'm glad to see that you're feeling a lot better. This was something we were really both kind of looking forward to. Robbie, not last minute, but a few days before, was like, hey, I'd really love to have you guys both back on. Going to talk about the Caps and trade deadline and all that. And, you know, we were both kind of excited to be back on. So that was
100%. Kind of... So you had to know that I wasn't.
What you are.
I really was just blah. So I'm glad. And it sounds like Bernie filled in and did great. And so I appreciate his subbing, and I'm sure it'll happen again, and, you know, having him on, and that's awesome.
Well, Bernie was on, but not for very long, unfortunately. He actually was having some technical difficulties himself.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we had him on, and he was fading in and out, and he tried to call back, and just his phone was giving him fits, but he chimed in with some comments, offline later on. Really sorry. Wanted to hear more from him, and it really started to, it wasn't as great as we could be, because it was a live cast with the game on in the background, and yeah, that thing quickly
sucked.
Went downhill in a hurry.
Because if I wasn't feeling like yesterday, I certainly was after that game.
Yeah.
It was just whatever. But I don't want to get off your agenda, so I don't know what angle
I know,
you want to take the show. So
with last night's Sports on the Hill, it just quickly turned into three very angry men on air. By the time we were done. Robbie was pissed. Carol was super pissed. I was about ready to throw something at the TV. It just wasn't good. So I'm sorry. I actually want to apologize to those guys and to our listeners right now. Because of that and recent events, not exactly going to be chirpy chuckles for the next hour or so. But
chirpy chuckles.
That's a Benny Hill character.
Okay.
Well, let me guess. You've never heard of Benny Hill.
Of course I've heard of Benny Hill.
I thought you were too cool for Benny Hill.
Mm. No, Gil. I've heard of it, but I just didn't expect you to throw that out there.
Oh, you know me. I'll throw anything out there.
I know. See, you know, this head cold is just, I'm going to bounce back, though. I had a very funny tweet, text with you before we got on the air. Is that right? I redeemed myself then.
Yes, you did.
All right.
We can't say what that is.
I know.
In case there are any kiddos listening, but yeah, you did come up with a very funny text a little while ago.
So, okay.
Yeah, we're definitely good. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into it. We're just gonna give a quick little rundown of the last few games. So when we last left you, we were doing the live show with the Caps playing the Blackhawks at the United Center over there. And that was no fun. Let's see. So that was last Saturday. Not this past Saturday, yes. But before. Then they bounced back with a good 3-2 win against Buffalo.
Right.
And let's see. So Ovechkin gets his 35th. Carlson gets his 11th. The Sabres made it very interesting. I thought they were going to lose it here at the end, but they managed to hang on. Kuznetsov gets the empty netter. And then Evander Kane, who is now no longer with the Sabres, as a result of yesterday's activity.
Right.
Makes
kind of
it 3-2. Well, he is. And I don't know. I don't want to get too sidetracked here, but I don't know. It's kind of, would have kind of been interesting if they were in the market for a forward if they'd gotten him, but
yeah.
He's with the Sharks now, so I'm sure he'll help them out. Okay. So moving on, next game was a back-to-back with the conference-leading Tampa Bay Lightning. Gave up 3 quick goals in that one, and a lot of us immediately thought, okay, here we go again.
Right.
Caps managed to make something of a game out of it.
Yeah.
The Lars giveth his... he scored again. Lars giveth his 12th goal of the season. Dmitry Orlov and Brett Connolly assisting. Ovechkin gets his 36th as his march to 600 continues. But it wasn't
I'm so sorry about that background sound.
No need to apologize. No need to apologize at all. As we've always said, Bella is a welcome addition to the show.
Yeah, she's
so. So no need to apologize at all. The Lightning. Yeah, I was kind of hoping we'd be at least competitive, and we were. To some extent, Kucherov, who's having a kick-ass season for the Lightning, gets his 32nd to cap it, so ends up being 4-2 for the Lightning. And then later on in the week, a couple days later, was the game in Florida against the Panthers. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just go ahead and draw a line through this game, because Carol, I think it was Carol who said it best last night. There was really no way that the Caps were going to win that game because the Panthers were riding a tidal wave of emotion that game. I think it's fairly obvious. Anybody who saw it, at least saw the ceremony, the pregame ceremony with the speeches, especially by Roberto Luongo, Bobby Lou to his fans.
Right.
If Carol, if a badass like Carol was moved, you got to believe that a lot of us others were too, and I certainly was. And
I was very emotional about it. I have to admit it was very well done. And I think that he spoke from the heart and, you know, just represented the team well. And I can honestly, and I agree with you, if that, whatever with that game, because you know what? Florida needed a pick me up. They needed something. And you know what? That it is what it is. But, you know, I've got emotions from a parent side, emotions from being a teacher. You know, it's a scary stuff that's going on. And we're constantly talking about, you know, and we're not going to get political, but, you know, it definitely, what has happened has affected my job as well. So to go into that game and see a very heartfelt tribute was okay. You know, at that moment, yeah. I didn't really want to see them get annihilated by the Caps, but whatever.
No, I'm never going to root against my Caps, but you had to know that there was no way the Panthers were going to let themselves lose. And I mean, there was really no shame in that. So again, just draw a line through that game. We're not even going to talk about it. Final score, if you're curious, 3-2 Panthers.
Right.
The Caps actually had the game in hand until the dying last, I would say, 6 or 7 minutes, and then the Panthers rallied. And like I said, you knew they were going to come back and win it. So draw a line through it. No shame in losing to a team like that. So we're moving on. So back over to the next game, which, the entire league's, as the folks at the Puck Podcast say, the Get Well Card, playing the Get Well Card team, which is Buffalo again, at home at, Capital One, blasted them out of the arena, 5-1. And then, of course, there was last night's game, which was an absolute stinker against the Blue Jackets. And
I wish I could draw a line through that game.
We can't, because it was a division rival, and it was points to get that we badly needed. That they and there's no two ways about it. They the bed. The bed.
You're full of all kinds of surprises tonight.
Well, I said.
I'm all for it. I just, you know.
I'm pissed at this team.
I am too. And I just phrase things differently. So I think it's great. They f***ed up. They sucked. I don't even, again, there were plenty of people on social media and I couldn't agree more. They looked like this was a preseason game and that they were just, you know, all meeting each other for the first time. You know, that's how I saw it. I mean, I really, like I said, I already felt like going into the game and watching it was just, I think I even got to a point of like, really, there's no way they're going to bounce back. There's no way. Not going in, not with 20 minutes left in a game. It would have to be a miracle of miracles to score 6 goals in order to win that game. Wasn't going to happen. They looked awful. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we're going to take on Ottawa tonight without playing like we did last night. But we shouldn't have to be in a situation like this more than halfway through the season where we have games like this and that inconsistency has, you know, showed up again. And it's like, man.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I absolutely agree. Okay, so before, and that, so that's the week or so that was, ever since, we aired the disaster that was,
right.
the live broadcast. And speaking of which, I hope everybody listening, enjoyed, my live segments, during deadline day yesterday. I was trying my best to keep everything, informed. And, once again, special thanks to, Bernie Deal for both, filling in last night, the Sports on the Hill, and keeping the rest of us on our toes with his tidbits timely. Want to give him another proper bit of adulation here because he's been a huge help. And in fact, hopefully down the road, I hope to have him on the show, actually. I've been a frequent guest of Sports on the Hill, so really hope to have him on our show down the road, especially come playoff time. Right. Okay, so now we're going to move on in a bit here to our two main topics of contention. Now, before that, though, a couple things. I'm over at the show page on Facebook, mm-hmm. and a couple of our listeners have chimed in with some topics of choice.
Okay.
So we'll definitely get to those, so I have that up. But Robbie and Bernie and I were kicking something around yesterday on the last night show, and none of us could come up with the answer at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But Robbie kind of threw it out there and said, hey, you know, Ovechkin's getting pretty close to 600 goals. Does anybody know of anybody that's done that, gotten their first 600 goals, or at least 600 goals with one team? And all three of us, unfortunately, brain farted on air with the answer. Now, I just want to address that here for a minute. The obvious answer, of course, the first to do it, of course, was the great Gordie Howe, who got 786 in his whole career with Detroit. Of course, he retired and then unretired, played in the WHA for a few years with his sons, and then played his final year with the Whalers back in the NHL. Taking another look here, and he's not the only one, though, but taking another look here at some big names who scored 600 goals at least in their career. Now, Wayne Gretzky obviously would have been the first to come to mind, but he never got 600 with one team. He fell just short. He got something like 583 in his.
Okay. I thought that's who I would have said, and I would have said immediately. And then if it was short, I thought it was 590, but okay, 583.
He got 583 in his eight or nine years with the Oilers, mm-hmm. and of course he ended up with. He ended up playing with the Kings and scoring a total of 894 goals, so getting 411 more throughout the rest of his career with the not only the Kings but the Blues and the Rangers as well.
Right.
Brett Hull got a total of 741, but I don't think he got them. I'm not sure that he got all of his. He spent the majority of his career with the St. Louis Blues, but I don't think he got to 600 with one team either. Hold on. Okay, 740. No, he did not. He got 527 with the Blues, so he didn't get that either. Mike Gartner, another notable name on the list. He was a bit of a nomad. 708 goals, but of course a good chunk with the Capitals.
Right.
But not 600. Now, Mario Lemieux, before I get to him, Steve Yzerman, 692 career goals, of course, 19 years with the Detroit Red Wings, so he's another one. Mario Lemieux, 690 goals, all with the Penguins, so he's another one. Let's see here. Joe Sakic, now he got a total of 625 goals, all with one franchise, but not with one team. Of course, he started his career with the Quebec Nordiques, who moved to Colorado and became the Avalanche. So it's technically one franchise, but two different teams. And I think we mentioned Timu Solani, but he got 600 exactly, but not all with one team. So the answers, Robbie, just want to throw that out there. The answers we were looking for were Gordie Howe, Steve Yzerman, and Mario Lemieux, mainly, were the three. And Ovechkin,
Mario.
He gets him too.
Mario Lemieux. It's not Mario. It's Mario.
He's a Penguin. I'm not going to give him any more respect than he deserves.
All right. I got you on that one.
Anyway, right. so that was the answer we were looking for. Just want to throw that out there for Robbie's sake, because that was... It's kicking around in my brain most of today anyway. So once again, Lemieux, Steve Yzerman, Gordie Howe, number one, and when Ovechkin gets three more, he will join that very elite club.
It's amazing.
Yep, absolutely. So hopefully he gets the hat trick tonight and gets that over with, because that would be nice to see. All right, so, okay, so moving on to our first bone of contention. Boy. One of the, well, probably the biggest elephant in the room, and this has been talked about a lot among us Caps fans, but I think we all know and can admit our all-star goalie hasn't
so much.
Been all-star of late. Hasn't played like it, at least. Not so much. Now, the first part of this debate is it him or is it the defense or is it both? I say it's both. Now, there are times where the defense did let him down. But I made a comment, I think it was in True Caps Fans or our room, but either way, I made the comment that the big difference that I'm seeing with him is that he seems to have lost his focus. He used to be renowned for his pregame preparation.
Right.
But he just does not seem focused. He's not seeing the puck well. He seems, and I don't know, he's very much off his game, and he's not the fighter he once was.
He would
usually let in a goal and then study it and move on and then up his game, but that's just not happening lately.
I agree. And I will say on this topic, I agree with both ends being guilty. But with him, I don't know. Like, I feel like a couple weeks ago during the podcast, I was praising him because of, even though that they lost, he does his interviews. He takes it to heart. He knows, you know, what happened, what didn't happen. He's not quick to say, to blame, you know, the defense at all. And that was, I was like, okay, there's the Holtby that we know, like the one who's super competitive, who's all about this team and this position all the time. But man, he's had six games now where if he hasn't been pulled, we've lost. And he just does not look good. And I think I said to you, and it's, I don't know if it's terrible to say or not, but it's like, this has got to be something personal, you know, something personal and that has consumed him, because this is not the Holtby that we know. And even if, and he's not playing tonight, and the fact that he got pulled yesterday, you know, it's like, come on. So it's like, even if you bounced back and kicked ass in the next game that he was in, it's still not enough to get all of us to say, okay, yeah, there he is. Yeah, there's him for that game, but we need to see that consistently, and we're not. And I think when he's not feeling it, I think the team's not feeling it, because they super respect him. So it's like, but I, like, my heart just kind of breaks, because I just feel like, you know, you're looking at him, and like you said, you know, he's got all these like almost like your OCD warm-up moves and superstitious things that he does, and everyone has their thing. And for him, it's like, I don't know what's going on. He just kind of just lost that, you know, passion for the team or the season, or he's, who knows what. I hope it's something serious, that's for sure. But you know what? You still need to show the
what you want
up. You need to do your thing. You need to get out there. The team is counting on you. And there's the fact that last night's game was 5-1 and then last week's game was 7-1. No, not okay with that. Huge issues with that. So it is hard. So am I 50-50? I don't know. Part of me is sort of 70-30 that it's Holtby's got something in his head that needs to be fixed.
And I would tend to agree, and I mean, you might be feeling a little sorry for him if it is a personal issue, but I'm not going to cut him any slack.
Right.
I've said this, I have said this, at least a couple times before in past episodes, way past episodes. But I looked this up.
Pre-Anna episodes?
Yes, yes, pre-Anna. B.A. Right. Before Anna. But you are, and I looked this up during, I wanted to bring it up during last night's show with mm-hmm. Carol and Robbie, but the game was so awful, we didn't get a chance to talk about it.
Right.
But I looked it up, and Braden Holtby is the sixth highest paid goaltender in the NHL.
Wow.
And I'm sorry, but you're making millions upon millions of dollars a season to do one job.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a shot come your way, you got to stop that puck.
Right.
Your team is counting on you. You got to do your job.
This is going to come back to very early me joining your podcast opinion, in which I have felt always when it comes to athletes being overpaid, you get paid when you perform. That's it. I've always said that. So you're going to give these people this enormous contract. If it's hockey, baseball, football, whatever, they sign it. Maybe for a season they do well, then they're injured. Then they are striking out. They're fumbling. They're doing this. They're doing that. Whatever the case is, I just have so many issues with that. So here you know, now people are going to start talking about the money. Up until then, he absolutely deserved what he was getting paid. Now, not so much. So where's the consequence? You know, yes, you pull him, but you can't pull him every game. Grubauer can't fill in every single time. So I'd be like, hey, listen, you know what? You're going to get paid when you do what you're supposed to do, which is not let the other team score. But I'm probably one of a few people that feel that way. But I don't know. I get frustrated.
I totally agree. And certainly
it would never happen.
Well, but your frustration is warranted. And I'm sure a lot of our fellow fans are feeling it to the point where it cannot be ignored anymore, that maybe, at least for a while anyway, he should not be the starter until whatever's going on with him is worked out. Now,
right.
I remember talking to Mrs. Blue Liner about this. I have been looking at goalies since I was 3 years old, and I know that every once in a while, even the great ones in their career come to a point where they lose confidence and their game just goes to hell for however long. It's happened,
but
it still happens.
That's just not right, but that's just not a goalie. That's any player, any sport, any position. Look at Burakovsky. Nothing. Everyone's like, oh, why'd we sign him? This, not one goal, confidence back. He's killing it the last couple of games.
Right. But
the point I'm trying to make
though is with goalies, it's a totally different world because they have a completely different approach to a game, and so their whole world is a 20-foot arc. Not just the crease, but a 20-foot arc, imaginary arc around the slot and the tops of the circles and of course, behind mm-hmm. the boards. That is their whole world. And if they let anything behind them, then their team suffers for it. And so if I know Holtby, like the rest of us do, whenever he lets one in, whether it's his fault or not, he puts an enormous amount of pressure on himself. And I think maybe that's a part of it, that his mind is finally buckling under the weight of that, and he just needs, I don't know, maybe he needs a little something to help refocus. Last night on the show, we actually talked about this a little bit. Maybe he needs a talking to from Mitch Korn, who hasn't really left the team, as Chris Levesque has pointed out many times, he's still the executive goalie coach, so he still has a role in the preparation, just not day to day. So, you know, maybe that's what he needs. It's fine. Maybe that's what he needs, something like that. I don't know, but.
Well, the thing is, if anybody who's ever done sports, regardless if you're, you know, have a scholarship or you're just playing, you know, whatever, street hockey, whatever it is, when it becomes mental and you can't get out of your own head, that mental block is huge. And sometimes you have to step back and say, okay, listen, I am so, you know, preoccupied with A, B, C, and D that I'm not even thinking about other stuff. You know, it all has to kind of mesh together. You know, so it's like when I coached swimming, it was like you would get these, you get swimmers and say, okay, listen, this is what's wrong with your stroke. This is how we're going to help it. This is how it's going to improve. So do it. And they would do it to the point of perfection, maybe in their stroke. But then when they do a flip turn or a start, you'd be like, what just happened? So this is, you know, everything has to kind of fall into, you know, it's all together. And I think for him, it's like he's just missing this one piece that is affecting his entire game. And you can see, I mean, when these guys, some of these goals, there's no way anybody could have stopped some of the goals.
Yeah, make no mistake. We're not dumping on him entirely, but
exactly.
At the same time,
that you're like, yeah, that's our number one guy. That is our Braden Holtby, who's been admired throughout the league. I love the guy because, you know, he doesn't trash talk. He does his job. He's passionate. He's humbled. He's awesome. So something's hurting with the guy. But you know what? You can't, like, I agree with you. You can't just say, oh, he's sad. You know, and so therefore, let the season ride out. No, you still have a job to do. So you got to figure out what it is. What's that mental block? You know, and it better not be this DC sports jinx that, you know, like, oh, we're almost in the playoffs. Let's hope that we get kicked out second round. Let's hope that, you know, DC blows it again, because it wouldn't that be typical. That could very well be it. And that's a lot of pressure to put on your goalie. And hence, you know, 7-1 and 5-1.
Yeah,
now
no,
it's time for a little ass kicking.
Yeah, because it's not, I mean, the case could be made for certain that certainly not all of the goals that are going in are his fault.
Right.
The defense has its share. The forwards need to back check a little more. So the rest of the team bears some responsibility.
Right.
For this. So it's not completely on him, but certainly he could be a lot better. And that's the point that's a point we're trying to make here.
Yeah.
So if it involves him sitting out for a while, letting Grubauer take over, or whatever has to be done, it's got to get done because the playoffs are a month and a half away.
Yeah.
And
well, I think last night was eye-opening to him for sure.
Yeah, you're right. He needs to get it together.
His face.
Yeah.
So
he definitely needs to get it together.
Maybe it is just benching him, being like, hey, listen, I know you're Braden Holtby and everyone thinks that you're amazing and we're all your biggest fan, but you're not doing what you need to do. So enough, putting Grubauer in, and who's done a kick-ass job, and good for him.
Right. Absolutely. So I think unfortunately right now, that's the move to make. So yeah. I think we're going to shut the door on that one.
Yep.
Okay, so before we go on to our main topic, lest I forget here, I don't want to ignore some of our listeners here who have chimed in on the Facebook page, particularly Chris Levesque. When I put it out there that we were recording here tonight. Okay, so I said, if you got any topics of concern that you wish to have discussed, let us know. And so Chris Levesque chimed in. Carlson FA status, and the fact that no moves were made at the deadline because right. others wanted a king's ransom. So, so let's a little bit of deadline talk here. Not going to get into it too much because we beat that to death over the last 24 hours.
But
ever since the season began, and I've made no secret of the fact that the most interesting thing the Caps would, face would be what to do with John Carlson. And Brian McClellan, the GM, announced not long after that he was making re-signing him his top priority. Well, guess what? Now he's actually got to get it done because now the clock is starting to tick because he can't move him. So now they got to do whatever they got to do to sign him. Now he's going to be commanding a lot of money because even though he didn't make an All-Star team, he is having a career year.
Right.
So he's going to be commanding a lot on the open market. And due to recent events, the Caps are up against it. And when I say it, I mean the salary cap ceiling.
Right.
So it's going to be very, very interesting. I think he'll find a way to do it, but my fear is that he'll have to pull another thing like what he did with Marcus Johansson to create some cap space.
Right.
And I kind of don't want to see that because that means probably somebody like a Jay Beagle or a DSP or somebody like that will be gone. But I mean, that's probably what it's going to come to, unfortunately. So, but I would be more than a little surprised if he isn't re-signed. I can't see letting him walk for nothing.
I'm
leaning towards it'll happen, but I'm kind of wary. The fact that, and I just said it, the fact that no moves were made at the deadline, everybody wanted a king's ransom, and the Caps just don't have the salary cap space. It just wasn't going to happen unless, some big name was moved, and it just wasn't gonna happen. There's no room. They're up against it. So, don't want to beat on that dead horse, but we were all looking for the big splash, the ooh and the ah, and sorry, wasn't gonna happen. Now they did, of course, make the two moves to get the two defensemen, Kempney and Jarabek. Jarabek is actually gonna make his debut tonight.
Well, they both. This is the first time they're both playing together. Yeah.
Well, it's the first time they're playing together. Kempney has been in about three or four games.
No, but I'm saying this is the first time that both of them are going to be playing.
Right. This is the first time
that it's
right.
This is the first. Orbeck.
Mm-hmm. Jarabek will be paired with Orpik. And speaking of Orpik, that's the other mention by Kevin Simmons. In fact, well, he's got 2 points to make. And I quote, Brooks Orpik needs to ride the pine a couple games due to abysmal performance. Seems like he is on the ice every time the opposing team scores. That right there is a dedicated fan of the Power Play Point podcast.
I was going to say, that sounds like this could be Gil's best friend.
I 150% agree. Enough said. Because, he's got to sit. And I really think with these new younger guys coming up, I think they deserve a long look. And I've said it before. Orpik needs to sit. He's not doing the team any good on the ice. His second point, he goes on to say, same guys who were on the ice in December are still on the ice now. However, they were winning back then and aren't now. What's different? Good question. And that's actually kind of a nice segue into our second big topic, and the perennial Caps blog, the official SB Nation blog, of the Washington Capitals, Japers Rink, flat out put it out there today that it's time for Trotz to go. It's time for Coach Barry Trotz to hit the road. So I'm of a few minds about that. I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm actually going to let you take it away, start us off here with your opinion on that. But I sent you, I forwarded you a tweet from somebody who gave his opinion on Trotz's overall performance ever since he got hired. And you said...
Nope. That I didn't agree. And I have always felt this way, and I know I bring up other sports, but I will keep it to hockey, but I don't always agree with the first person to go has to be the coach. You're talking about a guy who had 16 years with the Predators, and we saw something in him to sign him in 2014. With a great team, with a great roster. Yeah. And for, I think that if I'm right, and I am, you may have to like read the person's quote because I don't want to misquote anybody, but it was like he was given the stellar lineup, roster, and he hasn't done crap with it, kind of thing.
Well, okay. So basically, what the tweet was, the guy said basically, Trotz skated by with you know, a killer roster, and that's where he got all his success, and then all of a sudden not so much anymore, and now he's being exposed as the mediocre coach that he is, if you know, pretty much paraphrasing that, but that's
right.
That's the essence of that tweet, and you say you're disagreeing
absolutely.
With that.
I'm totally disagreeing with it, because you cannot put this entire thing on the coach. Absolutely not. I've always fought this, and I will always fight it. Yes, he is one person on this team, but the players need to be held accountable for what they're doing on the ice, and we're not seeing that 100%. Braden Holtby is a perfect example. So he was there when, you know, he was on the 2014 roster, as was the majority of the people, the Ovis, Biggs, Niskanen, Juice, everybody. And so to put it on him and say it's time for him to go, I don't agree with, because I feel like the fact that we didn't have a whole lot of mix up and drama yesterday is because Barry Trotz is in the frame of mind of saying, listen, this is our team. I feel strongly about it. I think they're going to do, like, this is it. And we're trying to find the lines, and we're trying to do this, and we're trying to do that. And I think I admire him and his coaching style. He's not a hothead on the ice. He's not, you know, like last night with Ovechkin, but so I feel like when the first person that they want to say is get rid of the coach, no, I think you need to start holding the players accountable for what they need to do. And then, and when things aren't getting done, when Orpik's sucking on the ice and Burakovsky's not scoring, and how about TJ Oshie? You know, we have a guy out there who's, like you and I have said, he's not 100%. So, you know, it's like at some point the player, is he 100%? He could be 100%, but he's not playing 100%. And so it's like how much of this has to be on the players versus the coach? What is going to change by bringing in a different coach? That's what I'd like to know.
You make a valid point. Now, the counterpoint I'd like to make, though, is at least this season, some of the moves that he's been making, I don't know, and Chris Levesque, while he was on our show, he made the same point. He's not sure what he's doing at times. Jacob Vrana has become one of your favorites, so I'm going to pose this to you. What's the point? What's the point? I mean, what has he done that was so awful that he deserved to be benched for most, if not all, of the dad's trip? And so much so that this is his first game in, like, what, 7 or 8 games now that he's getting a sweater?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I did not agree with that at all. And I found it very frustrating, especially when Trotz, however, he did say, like, oh, you know, since that the dad mentor thing, and we want to be sure all the players are out there and they get their chance, except for Jacob Braun, and we'll just go ahead and bench him. That to me was frustrating, but I do feel like the other times that he's kind of mixed up the lines a little bit and done other things, I've completely been on board. And, you know, it's, I'm not going to say he's the best coach and everyone needs to be just like Barry Trotz, but I am saying that there's a reason why DC brought him in 2014 or signed him in 2014, that it's not fair to put this all on them, because some of the players have just not done what they should be doing. And they've got huge contracts to live up to, and we're not seeing that at all. So I'm going to put it more on the players than I am on the coach.
Okay, so, and you don't feel that the coach should be more active in at least trying to get these players ready to play? How much of that part of it should be on
I don't think he's right, but I don't think they're not doing that. I don't think as a coach he's not going into the locker room and ripping them a new asshole when it's 7-1 against the Hawks and 5-1 in the game last night. Oh, I'm sure he is. And I'm sure he has his moments, and there's definitely time when those Kettler practices are closed to the public, because he's got those guys and he's going to work them hard and say, this is completely inexcusable. Like, this is not okay. You're dealing with a guy who's been a coach, just a coach that we took from the Predators for 16 years. And prior to that, he had experience. It's not like you've got just, you know, some random guy. We're like, well, maybe he'll do really good once he learns more about the game. He knows the game. You know, come on. I mean, if anything, I would love to see, I'd love to see Alan May coaching, because I love that guy. And I think he's got, you know, he's a bit of a hard ass and stuff like that, you know, in his input and whatever else. But what it comes down to, we've got Trotz, and I think we need to support him. I think he knows what he's doing. And I don't know. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Well, I mean, I still have, I don't know. I don't have a problem with his overall approach to the game. What I do have a problem with, or tend to have a problem with, is some of the roster moves. I don't understand, his sometimes blind faith in some of the vets like Orpik. I mean, if Orpik were on any other team, he'd be sitting. I guarantee you that. He would be sitting. At least for one game.
Hold on. But let's just go back, though. And I will say, a couple of however many episodes ago, when his name was brought up, so number 44 was brought up, and I was like, whatever. Like, I don't really have an opinion on the guy. I don't really care for the guy, to be sure. He's not a fan. And you were very quick to say that his ability to mentor the younger guys on the team is a value and it's a good thing and on and on.
I have since changed my mind and said that no longer outweighs his on ice contributions, because his on ice activity is hurting the team big time.
Right.
And so much so that he has to be benched. He does not, I mean, if he's not on the ice, a lot of those goals that are going in don't happen. I mean, the Chicago game, we saw what he did. That lazy play along the boards. He just floats he was a friggin' Papa John's pizza delivery boy, for crying out loud. Throws it out there in the middle of the ice. Somebody with his experience should know.
Go with Paisanos, because I hate the commercial.
Well, I'll give you what you want.
No.
You ask for it.
I know I do.
But, I mean, anybody with his caliber, his experience, should know. You throw it up the boards. You don't throw it in the middle of the ice. And that's what he did.
Right.
I mean, it's like It's almost like he wants to sabotage the team. I'm really starting to feel that way. And then would look, so brief Caps history lesson here. There was a guy about, I want to say, 30 years ago, pretty much, a guy by the name of Larry Murphy. He was so hated in this town because he did a lot of the same thing to the point where the GM had no choice but to trade him because it was such a distraction. I think we've pole vaulted beyond that with Orpik. The only problem is he's too old and that contract is too huge.
Right.
I said it before. I really hope Brian McClellan has learned his lesson from that. To not do that ever again.
I think in any sport, we don't need to be having these ridiculously long contracts. In any sport. Like, I'll keep it to hockey. But we have like a 7-year contract. You know, you've got this. Hell no, it's a contact sport. These guys are getting older. The players that are coming up are 17 and 19 years old. And it's like, there's no way that they can keep up with that. And we just signed somebody for 7 years and some insane amount of money. So I don't agree with the long-term contract, especially in a sport as, you know, as hardcore as hockey is. But here we are, like, yeah, lesson learned. Here's a guy that, you know, I don't care to, I don't know, I just, you know, I don't hate the guy. I just kind of don't care for him, to be honest.
Yeah, no,
and I don't care for him because I'm constantly disappointed and frustrated and annoyed. So, you know, tonight we're putting him with a brand new player to the Caps. Let's hope it works out. Let's hope he can get some sort of chemistry going and we can, you know, beat Ottawa, but fucking A. Like, yeah, there's just a lot of frustration right now.
Oh, I get that. So, I mean, but I still say that I think Trotz bears some responsibility. I mean, for example, I don't understand why he broke up Ovechkin and Backstrom in the first place. For however many games it was, when it was obvious that putting them two together was what was going to get the offense going again. And so, I mean, it's stuff like that that he does.
Right, but we haven't talked about Backstrom in a really long time.
No, we haven't. And he went through that slump where he was snake bit, and now his game's getting back. I mean, yeah, it is on the players. And they've been having problems and slumps and, you know, whatever. I don't know. They didn't make their regular appointment with Dr. Schlotkin or whoever. I don't know. But they've had their own, everybody seems to have their own problem, or I don't know. I'm at a loss for how to describe it. But it seems like everybody on this team has fallen off the side of the road at one point or another in this season. Mm-hmm.
Well, and what I get frustrated with is those moments of we have a couple of games, and I understand. I mean, it is a very lengthy season, of course. Like I completely get that. So you're not going to have somebody stellar every single game when there's back to back and traveling and whatever else. But then again, you're getting paid a shit ton of money to play hockey, so you do need to give 110%. But there have been times in the beginning when, I mean, my boy Tommy, look at how well he was doing. Haven't seen much lately. Last night, a little pissed at the refs, not, you know, they were after him, and I was not okay with that. But, you know, he is kind of up and down, and Kuzi's kind of up and down. And then Jay Beagle had a couple, and, you know, it's like we're just a team that the person that is doing amazing is our captain because that, you know, because he kicks ass. But it's like, I want to see more of our players stepping up, or, you know, keeping Bronna in more, because he is crazy fast and whatever else. But I'm disappointed in the, yeah. And I don't know, maybe I'm just like frustrated that it's like, I go on this anti, you know, number 65 thing, and then all of a sudden he's kicking ass because he scored, and now his confidence is back, and now let's ride that wave for a little bit. And, you know, it's just, come on, guys. And I agree, it's like, it's mental, and they've got to figure out some way to get rid of those negative thoughts and come together as a team, because it's too late in the season to be, you know, dicking around and trying to figure out, you know, things in your personal life. Nope, it's all about the ice right now.
No, and you got a point. You definitely have a point there. And I'm not gonna completely absolve Coach Trotz, because again, I find a lot of his decisions this year and even now questionable. And I mean, I really, really wish he could find something as far as making that one big adjustment to get this team over the hump. Now, this will probably be his last chance. And I said this in the True Caps fans room in response to that Japers Rink report. But it's more likely that he'll, I mean, I don't see the point in firing him. That'll provide a spark, but only for so long. And that,
right,
when you're inches away from the playoffs, unless you really don't have any other choice, is not the time to do it. But even so, you know, he's got to do something. But I'm not going to put it all on him either. There is.
But you're saying that. But what is it that you, if you were to take his place for tonight's game against Ottawa, what would you change?
Well, I mean, obviously the players
other
need
than Orpik.
Well, okay, well, he would be a start, but obviously a message needs to be sent to this team. And so to that end, I was going over some tweets a little while ago from Isabel Kershutian, and she announced that Travis Boyd, who I talked about a little bit on one of my live segments,
coming back, which is great.
He's being called up for Hershey. From Hershey, and I don't know if he's going to be in the lineup tonight.
He's not.
But he's probably going to be carried with the team, at least for the rest of the year. I say, why not give him a sweater and sit one of these other vets? And I really like that he's starting Vrana, but I mean, why not do something like, okay, hey, Niskanen, you sit. Conley, you sit. You know, just like, I don't know, something random like that that says to the whole team, hey, I'm in charge of who plays here, and if you don't get it done, you're gonna ride the bench. And
right. So then,
why
not do that with Backstrom?
Why not do that with Backstrom? I'm not leaving him out either. Why not?
Okay.
I'm open to that.
Yeah.
Now,
no,
I was going to
say. I mean, yeah. It's like, I know I am a huge Backstrom fan. I mean, the guy is amazing, but he is one name that you are not hearing a lot about this season. And that kind of, you know, that sucks because of how good he is. But you know what? I agree with you. And I wouldn't bench Connolly because he had he's been kicking ass and he was doing well, and he's got one or two kind of, or maybe more than two, not so great games, but still it's like, you know, there's just, I don't know. I feel like when Trotz at some point in the season started to change the lineup and people were bitching and moaning about Ovi and who was going to be on the top line and this and that, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. There was a reason for it, and he brought the players back that he thought would do this phenomenal job. And the Ovi Backstrom mix, we're not really seeing it. We're seeing Ovechkin soaring. Backstrom, we're not hearing about. So now you've got Wilson on the top line. No one saw that coming last year. I think they thought he was going to go up, but I'm one of his biggest fans, and I certainly didn't think he was going to be, you know, top line. But you know what? He earned it. And so I think that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about with Trotz. I think that he knows what's going on, but he also, a couple of episodes, and I said this before, he has said he changes up the lines so that the other team doesn't know what to expect.
Okay, well, let's keep on seeing that, but in the right way, and let's see him do that in the playoffs where that kind of adjustment is needed most, because this is his last contract year unless he gets an extension, and I would say if it's one and done or even a second round exit, he's not coming back, and I'm sorry, but if he doesn't get it done in the playoffs this year, this team doesn't get it done, that might end up being the right move because they may just have to go in a different direction.
And I totally disagree because I don't think you can put it on the coach. So,
well, they've got to do something. They absolutely got to do something. Now, I mentioned players who should ride the bench. One of your favorites, and finally, I really don't know why this guy has even been in the lineup, because we might as well have had put a statue on skates and had him on whatever line he was on. But everybody's favorite Frenchman, Alex Chason, will not be starting tonight, as it turns out. I gotta find the tweet here.
No, he's not one of my favorites.
All right.
I was just giving you
what you want
because of when you had a French accent with him, and I said, you know, there was a point when, yeah, I was like, hey, look at him, he's kind of making a name for himself. But again, I put him up there with Stevenson, who I'm like, who? Chandler Stevenson. Like, I want to see you do something, or let somebody else do it, because you're not impressing me right now.
Well,
Conley,
I
think Conley may have a good night tonight.
If you're not,
really feel that.
If you're not lighting up the scoreboard, then for God's sake, don't hurt the team. But I'm sorry. I've not seen enough out of Chason to warrant him staying on the roster. And thankfully, him, Bowie, Boyd, and this I don't agree with, but Juice, are all the scratches tonight. Vrana.
I don't agree with Juice either, but you know what? They had to in order to put Jarabek and Kentney together. Not together, but to put them on.
Get them some ice time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I guess we'll be hearing a lot of Monsieur Coach, my ass, it is stuck to the bench again.
No.
How come I cannot get on the ice?
I haven't knowed you in a while, and I'm going to tonight. No.
Why you keep saying no?
No.
My ass, it is on the bench. I cannot get it off. I got splinters in my asshole.
No.
You know what it is like to pick splinters?
Stop. Just stop. Stop.
Oh, come on. We had to have a light moment.
We did.
Okay.
I'll let that impression go. Okay. Out of your system.
So the final word, I would not be surprised to see Trotz go. I'm a little disappointed in what he's been doing with the team, but no, is it all on him? No, not quite, but there are things he could be doing somewhat better, and I really think he needs to get a hold of this team again, because that's the only way they're going to, well, maybe not the only way, but a way that they can get out of whatever the hell this funk is that they've been in, because they've lost six out of their last nine.
There you go.
Most of them in regulation.
Right.
That's bad.
Right. And that's, if I, you know, saw a couple of people today, and I was like, bite my tongue, I'm not going to say anything, where they're like talking about, typical DC sports. It's like, you know what? F off. Just then don't be a DC sports fan, or don't feel necessary to get on social media and feel like you know better. You don't. You're sitting on your ass tweeting stupid things, and you probably never even played the sport. You know, so it's like, just shut up.
Now, you can be pissed at your team, though. You have a right to be pissed at your team.
Be pissed at your team? No, be frustrated with your team. I feel there's a difference. I feel that there's a total difference between, you know, you're pissed, you're like, what the fuck?
Finland!
And blah, 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 you know, this and that. No, there's a frustration because you still want the best for your team. And you still want the best for your players.
I want the best for my team, but I'm pissed at them because they're not putting out the effort that I know they can put out.
Right. And I see it as frustration. I'm frustrated that they're not putting out 100%. And I agree that Trotz should be saying something. But who's to say that he's not saying anything? Then I put it on the players who are not listening to what he's saying. Or any of the other coaches, or anybody who's involved with any of the players. It's like, they know what they need to do. This game is not new to any of them. They know exactly who they're playing. They know everything that's gonna happen. And yet we've got sloppy passes, missed passes, you know, rookie moves out there when that shouldn't be happening. And it's like, come on. You got to put it on the players. You have to put it on the players. And I don't doubt that a 16-year coach in the NHL with the Predators isn't ripping them a new one in the locker room. But our players aren't hearing it.
Well, that may be, but as the saying goes, you can fire one person. You can't necessarily fire 25 all at once.
Right, now, and that's always been my frustration with any sport. So, you know, that's just one that I'm never going to – between that and my opinions on how much they get paid are, you know, going to fall on deaf ears. But I also feel like, you know, it would be a shame for people to send Barry Trotz off with a, you know, see ya, you didn't do anything for our team. That's not the case. So I don't know.
I get that.
Stop it.
What'd I say? What'd I say?
It's my puppy who wants to eat shoes.
Okay. I was going to say, I didn't pull out the French accent. I didn't do any impressions.
Thank you. No, I got bombarded between you and Chris last time with the double Elvis, so I'll let that slide. That's okay.
Yeah. Did you catch any of the Facebook Live updates as ailing as you were on deadline day yesterday?
You know what? Of you, yeah.
Okay. Well, did you see the last one? Did you see the last one?
Yeah, because isn't that when I chimed in?
Well, did you see what I was going to say? Did you see what I was wearing?
Yeah. And I wrote, your co-host is hot.
Of course you said that. What else are you saying?
To throw it off, because you were looking at the screen to look at the messages. And it was like so serious, and Bernie was writing all this stuff, and I was like, I'm going to throw this in and have you read it and think it's funny.
Of course you were.
Of course. Got your back. Of course I watched them.
Got your back. Hey, your co-host is hot. Yeah, because she's you.
But I didn't say that.
I know you didn't say that.
So
you made Mrs. Blue Liner jealous, by the way.
Why?
Just kidding.
Oh. Like
I asked her and she's like, I don't care.
She knows me. She knows that I don't, A, think that about myself, and two, I would never say anything stupid like that to you. It was a joke. It was to throw you off your game.
I know. Shameless self-promotion going on here, and lots of inside jokes as well.
That and puppy behind me that has to be on the hardwood floors dropping a rawhide bone. Good times. The Knox household.
She's fine. She's fine.
All right, now she's on the carpet. All right, okay. So we're done? We're good?
So, yeah, we're done with that topic. So, okay, I just found a tweet that is the lineup for the Caps for tonight's game. What the heck was that?
Yes. I told you I had to make dinner for my kids.
Oh, okay, okay. So we'll wrap this up here in a few.
Yeah. No, first... the lineup tonight, I'm kind of excited for. I like it.
Well, on the top line, that's unchanged. Ovechkin on the left, centered by Backstrom, and everybody's favorite good Kingston boy, Tommy Wilson, on the right. Let's hope he makes things right.
Take that back.
That's my little why. That's my little prediction. That he's going to do something. That he's going
to
do something.
You're not allowed. No, you're not allowed to make the predictions.
Why not?
Because you're not.
There's only one mermaid mentalist, I guess?
Yes.
And that's you. All right.
And my birthday's coming up, so it's that much more exciting.
And we'll get to that. line number two, and hopefully they don't play like number two, but we got Jacob Vrana making his return on the left, centered by Evgeny Kuznetsov, and what do you mean no? What do you mean they're
off? Your lines are off.
I'm looking at it. I'm looking right at it.
I wrote down the lines for tonight, and that's not what I have.
That's not what... Well,
I have Vrana, Eller, and Oshie.
We got to figure this out then, because that is not what I'm seeing.
Huh.
That is not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing Kuznetsov centering the second line.
No.
With those same two wings. Eller is centering the third line with Connolly on the left and Burakovsky on the right. And then it's Beagle on the fourth line centering Stevenson on the left and Smith-Pelly on the right. So
okay, I had that, but I think our
second and third line centers are flipped. This was a tweet that was just put out like 8 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Well, mine was, this audio is going to totally suck, and I apologize. I'm so sorry.
Well, that's all right.
You're so not. Everything that I didn't think was going to be amplified sound-wise is. So we probably just need to cut this short, because I'm trying to cook dinner. And it's just suddenly gotten really
okay. Well, that's fine. Just want to go into two quick more things. Of course, this Saturday is the outdoor game at Annapolis at Navy Marine Corps Stadium against the Maple Leafs. 8 o'clock puck drop. Really, really, really wish I could be there. And Mrs. Blue Liner had a concern about the temperature. The low for the day is actually going to be 36. So,
yeah.
And we're returning, even though it was rather warm today, we're returning back to regularly scheduled Delmarva temperatures for the winter, at least for the time being. Yeah. For the next few days anyway. Really, really wish I could go there. If any of our listeners happen to be there, would love to hear from you, get you on for maybe a little bit next week, get your experience, get some details from you. And see how that was like. Really would have loved to go, but just, you know, wasn't in the bankroll this year. So, just want to put that out there. And want to end the show on a positive note by giving an...
Santa's birthday coming up. You love me.
In a few weeks.
Not in a few weeks, in 11 days.
Okay, within two weeks.
Yeah, let's hear it about. Let's go ahead.
But
hockey,
yes,
gold medal.
Yes, our ladies, the United States of America women's hockey team, who there were some out there. I'm gonna take them to task that when they went on their protest about comparative pay, bitched at them,
How you like them now? They bring home the gold.
Exactly.
G-O-L-D, gold. A medal.
They
got it done in the shootout. And, Anna, we just want to throw this in there. Anna, I don't know if you watched it, but I think in your eyes there was a Kessel who finally did something right.
No, I didn't see it.
Not talking about Phil.
I hate Phil. But no,
I know you hate Phil, but I
was awesome.
I know you love his sister.
Yes.
That was one hell of a sweet move.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing. And I hate Phil. Sister, amazing. Loved it. And go USA with the gold. Awesome.
And the missus would take me to task if I didn't mention, of course, the Lamoureux twins from North Dakota. They played
right?
their part as well. And the goalie. And we've got to pause here. Haley's from Rockville, but no, she's a forward. I had her name. Bella's fine. Had her
she
name
wishes she could participate, but she is spazzing out right now because she needs to go on a walk.
She's fine. Maddie Rooney, who stoned the last shot in the shootout and capped the gold medal. God bless her.
You know what? It was amazing. And I was following Haley on Instagram, and I absolutely loved nothing more than to see a player who's, yes, it's very, you know, social media oriented, but you know what? She filmed everything. They were so excited. They were totally humbled to be there. They were ready to kick ass when it was time. And when they won gold, their facial expressions just, that was amazing to me.
Yeah. And I saw that you posted the video on the Facebook page. That was,
that
was a joy to see. So we'll end the show on a happy note. Congratulations to our ladies for winning the gold in Pyeongchang.
And that curling team, but we'll talk about them another time. Oh, my God.
Speaking of curling.
Outside.
Speaking of curling, did you see what Marc-Andre Fleury tried to do?
Is this a Gil joke?
No, this is not a Gil joke. This is real.
No.
He was in that trapezoid area, and the puck was inches away from him, but kind of sliding towards him, and he was rubbing the ice like with his stick like a curling broom to get the puck to come to him, so that he didn't have to.
No,
it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But yeah, you can find that. I'm sure you can find the video of that on Twitter. So,
sure.
So, yeah, puck's going to drop here in about 24 minutes. Anna's cooking up a storm here, and my missus will be crashing through the door at any time here saying, "What the hell are you doing now?" Just kidding. So, we're going to wrap it up here. Please. Yes, I am, if you'd let me. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So we're going to wrap it up here. Please, dear God, Caps, put out a better effort today. They're not a last place team. They're not a doormat, but they're not bad. They're not great either. Come out and show your true colors, please. Put in a better effort.
Seriously, we need to not give the Flyers the first place of what they had right now, but okay.
And especially not hit the bed either.
Yeah, that's gross.
Please. So, on that note, we'll join with you next week. Please, Caps, I'm begging you, play better. And as always, please use your left and right turn signals. Let's go, Caps.
Go, Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Hi there, me once again, Blue Liner on Point back with you. Just wanted to introduce the bonus content here, give you some context. It was myself and Carol Porter III, of course, from the Sports on the Hill podcast, doing a Facebook Live simulcast of sorts. And of course, we went down, this was actually recorded the Sunday before Monday's trade deadline. And we run down, among other things, a couple of juicy rumors, some key scenarios, and overall the recent play. So some more keen insights from one Mr. Porter III. And hope you enjoy. And please give a listen to both shows next week.
So I will be posting that as soon as we get off of this trade deadline special. What's going on, Gil? Glad to have you in the house, man.
All right, CP3, glad to be here. So let everybody know what's going on. Listeners of the Sports on the Hill podcast, something of a simulcast that we're going to do a recording this for the podcast that we're going to post on deadline day next Monday. Carol and I are on here together. We arranged this last week. I want to get his thoughts on, as he said, the dealings that have happened already and will hopefully be happening. I got some questions for him, wanted to pick his brain. We're going to do a little bit of a discussion on that. I'm going to get his thoughts and hopefully figure this thing out. First thing I wanted to pose to you was there's already been deals for two depth defensemen already. And I know this was discussed. I listened to the archive of last week's show. I know you and Anna talked about this a little bit. What do you think of the deals that have happened for those depth defensemen so far?
Well, so far, seeing the game last night with Kempley, I think his name was, he played very well. That's only his, I believe, second or third game with the team. I liked his physical style. I like that he moved the puck quickly. He got it out the defensive end, and he moved the puck, which is what they've been needing and what this team has been lacking in. And the young guy from Montreal, or I forgot where we got him from, somewhere in Canada.
Jarabek, yeah, and I believe he was from Montreal. You're right.
They said he was skating with the team. And they're saying that we got a steal with this kid. I haven't really seen any tape on him, but he's supposedly a rookie, but he spent 8 years in the KHL. So he has, you know, some professional experience. So I'm liking those two moves. I'm loving, you know, you've heard us talk about, you heard me ride Andre pretty badly. And Cousy, it's good to see both of those guys, especially last night, step up and shine. And the defense looked a little bit better. You know, we got an early goal. We held them to one. They got an early goal in the second. But other than that, the team played pretty solid lockdown defense. And actually, like Alan May said last night, they played the full 60 minutes for the first time in a long time.
Yep, you're right about that. And that's been key. Put together a good 60-minute game here. And that's what's been missing lately. Now, so we've already hit on the defense being a need for this team. Other than that, what do you think is key, assuming that the Caps are in a buyer type of mode at the deadline? What do you think they should be going after?
Well, I'm actually going to stir the pot a little bit, because I was strolling through one of the Caps groups, and one of the fans had posted something, said he knew someone. This is all rumor, so I haven't got a chance to check any sources, but he put a post out saying that he knows someone in the Cap organization, and there's a rumor, people, don't go crazy.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, that they're shopping Braden Holtby for a couple of first-round picks and possibly a player to be named later. Now, I posed this to Robbie, and you know how Robbie is. Robbie was like, it's never going to happen. I was like, I know, it's just an interesting thing to think about. Now, Holtby hasn't been playing in sharp lately. And Ruby is on a 3-game winning streak. Last night he played very well. And I noticed saying some not so positive things about Brayton last night that I had noticed. Not saying that that means anything, but if they were to pull something like that off, that would, for one, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure if Ruby's the number one, but the fact that that would free up cap space, and then you can lock down Carlson, who is, I've always said, we have to develop your talent. We drafted him. He stepped up. He's developed into a top defenseman, and we got to pay this man to keep him in the organization. So that would free up some money. You know, Cousy got the $7 million contract. You know, Ovi got his contract. Nicky got his. So I don't know. I mean, only other thing, I don't really think we need to make any more adjustments on the offense. I like the way Andre is skating. He's getting more confidence. Cousy has been scoring, you know, getting points on a rapid pace. So I think that the offense will be where it is. If they want to get another defenseman, which I don't really see them doing, but I don't know. I'm pretty set with the way I like the way things are now, especially with the Metro being this tight. And them not walking away with it and having to compete every night, even though they went on this, you know, up and down lull. But we've known the Caps to get lackadaisical when they walk into the playoffs. So adversity builds champions, and maybe this is a good sign for the team, is what I'm hoping.
All right. Well, building on that, I got something of a follow-up for that. If the Caps went after And I don't think, you know, given all what all has happened in the last few days, I'm sure you've heard of some big names being moved. We won't get it too much into that. But if the Caps were suddenly to be in a market to go after a big name or a bigger name or somebody that would shake up maybe the forward lines a bit, what do you think that would do to the chemistry? What better question? You said, right? You just said you don't think they really need any more. So would that actually have an opposite effect of what they would want?
With that equation, the X factor to me is TJ Oshie, because if you saw last night, he had a prime opportunity to get a goal, made a hell of a steal, and off the crossbar. It's just, this year is like he's been snake bitten. Last year he was, you know, killing it. So if he can get to going and get some goals going, I think he's the X factor, because Cousy has stepped up. Before I said it was Cousy, the reason why Oshie wasn't getting the score, now Cousy has stepped up. And I know Robbie's going to, you know, be happy I gave Cousy his props, because he know I'm hard. When you're making $7 million and you're making that big money, you got to be consistent and produce. That's in every sport. I'm hard on Bradley Beal with his max contract with the Wizards. I'm going to be hard on Cousy with his contract with the Capitals. But he stepped up. Andre's playing better. So now it's Oshie's turn to kick it into gear. And if he can do that, I don't really see any reason to add anything else. You know, I'm not a big player guy in the NHL, so I'm not even sure who's available and who could make that big of an impact. But I think with the way things are, with them showing that, you know, they let Choney hit the waiver wire. He's in Columbus now. They're bringing in somebody to upgrade. They're knowing Andre got set down. They know that Trotson ain't playing. If you're not playing, you will be a healthy scratch. You will sit up there in the box and see what's going on and then try to earn your spot back.
Yep, I kind of agree. And I think I said a few shows back on the podcast, the Power Play Point podcast, the answers have to start coming from within. When they first started slumping off the long layoff, they have to start coming from within, at least on the forward lines when they were going dry. And this is a good time to start discovering that. Like you said, Oshie's been snake bit, but I think he's actually starting to come around. I think a month ago, he wouldn't have hit that crossbar. He'd have missed the net entirely. And so... I would say right now that's an improvement. So I think he's getting back into 100% game shape. So I'm glad to see that. But no, I agree. I don't want to see any addition to the forward line. I think we're set for the top four from top to bottom. I think it's the decor that needs a big shakeup. And I don't know if they're done yet. And the Holtby rumor sounds interesting, but I don't know. I that might be a little bit too much. It just might be a little bit too much for the team to handle, too much of a breakup for the chemistry. And just, I don't know, that would be too much of a shock to the system. You want little changes. You don't want a big overhaul. That would be just too much. Your goalie is basically runs the defense. You don't want a different guy, even though I'm sure they trust Grubby. You don't want a whole different voice that you have to get used to right before you start the most important part of the season. So I think that would be too much. I don't think that's something they should do, although it is interesting. I will agree with you there.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it would be a move that happened, but, you know, I got to stir the pot. You know, I'm going to dig into it a little bit more tomorrow night on the Sports of the Hill podcast just to mess with Robbie a little bit the way they like to mess with me, bringing up RG3 all the time. So I'm going to stir the pot with him tomorrow just to mess with him a little bit. But I honestly think this team, you know, with us not knowing what they were going to be at the beginning of the season, with the pieces that were gone, the new pieces that were coming on, the young pieces that were coming on, and like we said at the beginning of the season, I didn't feel like this was a rebuilding year. I felt like it was a revamping year. And the fact that they've been at the top of the Metro for most of the year, yesterday they went in third place, they won, Pittsburgh lost, New Jersey didn't play. I mean, Philly won, but they're still a point behind. So this is going to be the rest of the way down until playoffs, you know, are here. They're playing well. They know they have to continue to play well. They want to get into the playoffs and get that top spot. To hell with the President's Trophy. We ain't worried about that. We done been there, done that. But I'm liking what I'm seeing. I know everybody always says, you know, wait till playoff time, and they always do good in regular season. And I know I'm always optimistic every year saying this might be the playoffs and they get it together. But I'm going to say it again. Hopefully this year's the year they get it together in the playoffs. All you can do is just sit back and watch the NHL Network. I just saw something come up about Mike Green trade rumors. I know Robbie might be tuned in to that. Their dream is to get him back in D.C., which I definitely don't think is a good one. But
yeah, I'm with you there.
It's going to be interesting to see this play out. But I think the Caps are in a position where, you know, with hockey playoffs, it's such different from any other playoffs. It's any team at any given time can get hot, and you get a hot goalie, and you can ride him through the whole thing, and nobody even knows where the team came from. They made the playoffs. They were a bottom seed, but they got hot. Everybody was clicking at the same time, and the goalie started standing on his head every game, and next thing you know, you got a champion out of nowhere. So it can happen for any team, but hopefully it can happen for the Caps this year.
Yeah, I agree. Now, this is something a little off topic as far as the trade deadline, but it's been discussed before that maybe finishing in the top spot in the Metro probably isn't the best thing for the Caps. Would you agree with something? I think RMNB might have talked about this a month ago. Would you agree with something like that, that second or third in the division might actually be better for them?
Yeah, we actually had a debate last year when the Caps were in a similar position, me and Robbie, and he was of the same notion of, you know, not really worrying about finishing first because you got to go through this and go through that. I understand that philosophy, and I understand it's how it falls sometimes, but we all know Pittsburgh is the Caps' nemesis. Until they can beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs, I don't feel they will ever have the confidence to win that cup. So no matter what happens, for the Capitals to win the championship, they have to beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs. I don't care if it's the first round, the second round, or the conference finals. But they have to beat the Penguins to get that monkey off their back. I think it's a psyche thing. And I think they got to do that. If they don't, I don't think they're going to be able to look themselves in the mirror to know that they actually did it, because they still want to have that monkey on their back if they don't face Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
All right, so the road to get out of the division, or at least get towards the cup, goes through Pittsburgh, and that's gonna make a lot of people nervous. But I think you're right. I think that they finally have to do it one way or the other. And what I'm hoping for is that, like you said, they get hot at the right time. They start to gel, and maybe if they start their playoff run right now, maybe that'll be something. But I just don't know. We're not going to start knowing until after the deadline, roster gets solidified and all that. I've got to get back to that rumor though. If they pulled you like stirring the pot. Let's take it a little higher. If they pull the trigger on that deal and Grubauer becomes the number one, what do you think will happen to the team then?
Interesting. I haven't gotten that deep into it. Kevin said he would not be bothered if the Cavs didn't finish first. So we got somebody that said they wouldn't be bothered with a second place finish. Opie is a great goalie. I'm not going to take that from him. But for some reason, over the last month or so, he hasn't played like himself. He hasn't been that confident. You know, when you see him out there, when he makes a great save, and he'll just stand up and, like, ain't nothing, you don't see that no more. And it's like, I don't know if he's doubting himself or he's fighting the puck, but Ruby is definitely playing well. If honestly, I wouldn't trade him. I would, you know, go with the hot goalie, as they say. But say if they did make something huge like that happen, I'm not sure what response that would get in the locker room. I'm not sure. I know it would shock everyone, but it would also get a vibe that, you know, the time is now, you know, excuse me, it's no time for uncertainty. Let's get it together and let's move forward. But I doubt it, but that would send a ripple through the whole NHL, I tell you.
Yeah, I think you're right. And if there is one positive to that, it would send the message to all the defensemen, hey, this is what we had to do to get better, to stop letting in so many goals. Now it's on you. And that's the only positive I can think of, but I just can't help but think it would do a lot more damage than help the team. So it's a nice thing to think about. It's a very interesting scenario. It would free up some cap space, but in the end, I think it would just do more harm than good, and I just can't see them pulling the trigger on that.
No doubt. Kevin just asked, what do we think about the defense? Do we think it was better? We mentioned it when we first started. I know I did that with the new addition of Kempley, I think his name is, being matched up with Opie. They played very well together, you know, holding Buffalo to one. They had a good push. You know, Buffalo isn't a highly offensive team, and Evander Kane didn't play last night. He actually was a healthy scratch with the trade deadline coming up. So they didn't have any full firepower, so, and they're not like a fast team that's really going to test the Caps. But when they got that early goal in the second and they made it a 2-1 game, you know, we've seen the Caps get back on their heels and, you know, let the other team get back in it. But with that Andre coast-to-coast goal that I actually stood up and applauded in my own living room, that because I saw it breaking down, and Craig was actually in the locker room saying, you know, you got to get speed through the neutral zone. And as he was saying it, Andre was doing it. And the next thing you know, he made another hell of a move, and it was a goal. And that's what the team needs in those times, especially when it's a 2-1 game. You're playing a defensive team that isn't really offensively strong, and you're playing their game. You need that spark to come out of nowhere to propel your team, and then next thing you know, it's a 5-1 victory. So I think it was definitely a good sign the defense sparked the offense, because they played steady and held strong until the offense clicked. So I think we're on the right path, and I trust Trotz. I trust his assistant coaches, and I say let's ride with it.
Yeah, I hear you, and I think I agree with you pretty much 100%. That they've gotta not be afraid to stay on the gas pedal and just come up with plays like that, because the playoffs are going to present them with a much tighter checking game, much more physical game that they're going to have to fight through, and that kind of a goal, that kind of an effort. Tends to lift the spirits of the whole team. And so if they can come up with that consistently all through the different games and the different series, it's going to make a difference. And we haven't seen that yet. But if we start seeing that, that carries over not only from game to game, but series to series, I think they got a legitimate shot. I don't want to sound too overly optimistic, but I mean, like you said, the spark is happening, and that can result in something better, something a lot better that they're headed towards. So this might be, I mean, we're hoping, the start of a great beginning that's going to lead to, I'm hoping, we're all hoping, a long playoff run.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, what's going on, Kiki? I got a question for you, Gil. With the outdoor winter classic coming up in Annapolis, I was trying to find a way to get some tickets to it. They say some available, but not in my price range. And unfortunately, couldn't get a way to get out there. What do you expect from this? Well, first, do you think the weather is going to be cold enough for the game with this crazy spell we're going through, 70s one day and it's snowing the next? And then what do you expect from that game up there in Annapolis?
I expect the Caps to have a lot of fun with it. I don't know if the weather conditions are going to be all that great for it. Like I said, it's going through a late winter heat wave around here. That game's pretty much in my backyard. I live in Anne Arundel County, so that game's pretty much in my backyard. And yeah, it's been pretty warm up here. But I think that the team's going to have a lot of fun with it. I don't think they're going to get too distracted by all the trappings. It's not like they've never played outdoors before, so they know what's expected of them. And it's going to be it's at Navy Marine Corps Stadium. It's a pretty good venue. I've been there, seen a couple games. Couple of football games there myself, lower level football games. So it's a pretty good spot to watch something. So yeah, I think they're just going to have fun with it. They're not going to make too much of a big deal out of it, and you know, in the locker room, and you know, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I hope it'd be an entertaining game. The outdoor games are always entertaining. I love watching, you know, all the ceremony and stuff, all the special things they do. But so going forward, where do you have the Caps finishing at the end of the regular season going into the playoffs?
That's a pretty good question. The race for the lead's heating up. Both Philly and Pittsburgh are starting to turn on the Jets, and Jersey's not too far behind, and so yeah, you got those three to contend with. I think they're going to be the ones that finish in the top four. It would not surprise me if the Caps ended up finishing second or third, and like Kevin, I wouldn't be too upset about that. All we would lose is maybe home ice later on, but I mean, that's not really that big a consequence. I think sometimes they play better on the road anyway, so I don't think that'd be too big a consequence. But as long as they finish in the top three, as long as there's no big slide anytime before the season end, like they lose 3, 4, 5 games in a row, like they were over the past couple weeks, at least in the last minute, you know, the heartbreak games like that, I don't think it'll be a problem if they don't win the Metro. So I think they'll be fine. I'm figuring top three, but definitely first or second is probably where they're going to end up.
Yeah, I mean, they've done the first place thing and it hasn't turned out well, so I say, why not? Second or third place, go in as the sleeper or whatever they say, you know, the Caps ain't going to last long. Maybe that's what they need to have that chip on their shoulder, you know, to hear about them instead of saying they're the, you know, they're the favorite to go, and maybe that'll help propel them to get there. Kevin said they don't want to do well when they finish first. It's almost like it's too much pressure. There's always going to be that pressure because they got to get that money off the back. You know, they haven't been to the finals since 98. You know, Ovi has been putting up historic numbers. The video I'm about to put out, he played his 983rd game, time for Caps franchise record with Callie Johansson. He scored his 596th goal of his career, has 1,102 points total in his career. I mean, only thing that's left for that man to do is to be able to raise the cup. And I want to see that toothless smile kiss the cup one day in the Capitals uniform. I want to see that. Ovi has done for Capitals hockey what no other player has done before. He has everyone hyped up. You see 8 jerseys everywhere. I still haven't got my first Capitals jersey. I'm getting the Wilson jersey. I know that you get on Anna for being a Wilson fan. And But I'm a Wilson fan too, damn it. And my first Capitals jersey is going to be a Tom Wilson jersey.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. That'd be good. And Anna would take me to task if I didn't at least mention him myself. Everybody noticing he's staying on the top line, and that there's a reason for that. Now he may not be lighting it up on the scoreboard by himself, but the reason he's there is to make life easier, as I've said many times, for Backstrom and Ovi, create space for them so that they can do what they need to do. And when he gets the chance, Wilson does tend to bury it, does well when he gets the puck in that zone and does what he needs to do. His career numbers are reflecting that. So, I just want to put that out there that he's still on that top line for a reason. And that's why.
Breaking news.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I heard they were looking into doing that, but it looks like they pulled the trigger on that.
Yeah, they just came across just now for, I think it said, two to three draft picks. I got to see it. The graphic just went down. So, yeah, it's getting crazy. The Leafs got the mechanics from the Canadians. So, it's a lot of stuff going on. The chest tube to the Blue Jackets. So, yeah, see if the Caps are going to make some more noise tomorrow. They might be quiet today putting something together. But they definitely said they were going to be still shopping until the deadline. So it's going to be very interesting to see if they make a move and what move they do make, if they make one.
Yeah, that it will be. That it will be for sure. All right. Well, speaking of the goings-on tomorrow, I think we're going to wrap it up here. But I want to... put it out there that I'm going to be doing some more FB Live solo after 1 p.m. When I get off of my job. We'll be coming down to the wire for the trade deadline. I think it expires at 3 p.m. that day. So I'm going to do some spots here and there to sum up some moves outside the Caps and what maybe the Caps have done up to then. And we're going to check back in with everybody then. I think we're going to wrap it up here. CP3, I do appreciate your putting this together, helping me put this together, invite me on here. And I want to give a shout out to both you and Robbie. Once again, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Sports on the Hill podcast. First topic is usually the Caps. I'm hopefully going to be listening live, but I do, like I said, I do always try to catch you at least on the archive side. And the next night, going to have a recording, or do the recording of our show, the Power Play Point podcast, and post that hopefully later on that day or maybe Wednesday and give our thoughts on the deadline. But I want to thank you again, Carol, and love all your opinions, and love you guys' show. Keep up the damn fine job you do.
Hey, man, no problem. Appreciate it. Well, make sure you call in tomorrow night. We got Hannah coming on. You're supposed to come on, too. To give us the wrap.
Oh, yeah, 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 for sure, yeah, for sure. Up. Yeah, that's the live game. Yep, for sure.
So after you do your Facebook Live and everything goes down in 3, when we do the live recap, we'll chop up and see whatever move they made, if they did make a move. And we'll talk about that more tomorrow night. After that, we'll get into some Wizards talk. 8 o'clock hour, we'll have some boxing talk. And then whoever knows, we got a little bit of Olympic coverage also. Robbie's going to break that down with the Olympic goings on. So, appreciate y'all tuning in. Thanks, Kev, for all the questions. Y'all tune in tomorrow night, Sports on the Hill podcast, DC Sports Out of Politics, True Radio Network, Power Play Point podcast. See y'all later.
All right.